Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening to Bible Crossfire every Sunday night at 8:05 Central. On this program, we discuss doctrinal differences that believers have and look at what the Bible actually has to say on those issues. 2 + 2 is not 4 and 5 in mathematics, and the same principle applies to religion. Jesus says in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," talking about being made free from sin. So things different from the truth will not make us free from sin. So if two different preachers are teaching two different things, they both can't be right. They're both not the truth. They both won't set us free from sin. To kind of drive this point home, we were talking last week about the church in San Jose, California, that smokes pot as part of what they call the sacrament. They mean by that the Lord's Supper, the communion. Read about this on the internet. Instead of just having bread and fruit of the vine, they're either substituting or adding, I'm not sure which, smoking pot as part of the Lord's Supper, as part of the communion. Obviously, they're ignoring what the Bible says on the matter and doing what they think is best, or what they want to do. And that raises an important question. Are we free to worship God in a way that we think is best or pleases us? Or perhaps will bring in the most people, including smoking marijuana as part of the communion service? Are we free to do that? I think all of my listening audience can see that we're not free to do that. We're not free to change what God has said just to make it, just to have it, to do something as we would want to do it. The audience can see that, but I ask you to be consistent on other issues. Before I go on, let me mention the number to call again is 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. 877-655-6755. So, we're talking about being consistent. We can all see that adding smoking pot to the communion service is not what God would have us to do. We're not to change God's word, which says bread and fruit of the vine, and change that to smoking pot just because we might like that or we might think it's best. We can't do that. But can we apply the same principle to the issue of women preachers? God said in 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." And then God said in 1 Timothy 2:11-12, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." So the Bible's clearly against women preachers. How could you make it any clearer than saying it's a shame for women to speak in the church? Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. Yet most churches who claim to be Christian churches allow women to preach from the pulpit in direct violation to these two passages. Now, we're sort of used to that, so it doesn't seem that funny, or that strange. But is that any different than the church in California changing the Lord's Supper to smoking pot as part of the Lord's Supper, part of the communion? Is it any different to change what God has said about women preaching in the pulpit, that they're not to do that, and allowing women to preach? If it's wrong to change bread and fruit of the vine in the communion service to smoking pot, then why wouldn't it be wrong to change what 1 Corinthians 14 says when it says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches," to change that and allow them to speak in the church, allow them to preach the sermon in the church? If one's wrong, why isn't the other wrong? You see, the answer is we're not allowed to change what God has said just to make something the way we want it, what we think is best, or what would bring in the most people. That's true whether we're talking about changing the Lord's Supper to smoking pot or changing the service to allow women to preach in direct violation of what God has said. Doug from Washington State, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I was just wondering, what is gossip?
What?
And I was wondering if 3 John verses 9 and 10 was an example of gossip?
You know, 3 John verses 9 and 10 is talking about Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence, and he was trying to basically, he was trying to forbid people in the church, casting them out of the church, and there was no good reason for it. I'm not sure that's what gossip is. Doug, gossip is when...
I meant that John was gossiping when he wrote this.
No. Let me explain. Gossiping is when you...
somebody else negatively.
No, that's not what gossip is. I mean, Jesus talked about others negatively. Do you remember Matthew 23 where he talked negatively almost the whole chapter about the Pharisees? Gossip, Doug, is when you spread unsubstantiated rumors about another person behind his back. So there's nothing wrong to say something negative about somebody. As a matter of fact, in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, it basically says we have to warn those. When we see somebody do something wrong, it's our obligation to warn them, to tell them that's wrong. And if we don't, it says their blood will be required at our hands. So we have an obligation, Doug, when we see somebody who's doing something contrary to God's law, as we have opportunity, to tell them about it, to try to correct them because we love them. But a gossip is when you spread an unsubstantiated rumor about someone else behind their back, meaning you don't know if it's true or not. You don't know if it's true, and you spread the rumor anyway. It is something that's negative about that person. But if you know something that is true, well, as a matter of fact, let's go to Matthew 18 and see what we're supposed to do. Doug, you still on the line?
Yes.
Now, in Matthew 18, Jesus is going to tell us what to do when we know somebody's done something wrong. Matthew 18:15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." So here's something the brother has done against me. He's trespassed against me. It's a negative thing. I know that he's done it, and I go tell him about it. See, so I'm going to have to say something negative to him when I'm telling him that he sinned against me. You follow what I'm saying, Doug?
No, not really. You talk too fast.
I'm sorry. Let me slow down. In Matthew 18:15, when somebody trespasses against us, Jesus is commanding us to go to that person, tell them that they've sinned against us, and to try to get them to repent. Okay, we just read that verse. Now, in the process, you would have to say something negative about them. You're accusing them of sin. And then, basically, the next verse says, "But if he will neglect to hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." Basically, withdraw from him. So here's a negative, something sinful that a person has done. You got to go try to get him to repent. You have to say something about negative to him, about him, to his face, because you're trying to get him to repent. Now, here's what gossip is. See, in Matthew 18, that's when you know he's done something wrong. Gossip is when you hear somebody has done something wrong, but you don't know that it's true. Secondhand or thirdhand information, or you just make it up. You're being deceptive. And you go spread that unsubstantiated rumor. Do you understand the word unsubstantiated, Doug?
It means to confirm.
Yeah, it has not been unsubstantiated means it has not been proven. Yes, you're right. Substantiated means confirmed.
Most things we talk about are unconfirmed.
Yeah, well, so, but when I suppose I just think or I've heard that so-and-so has done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then if I go tell, let's say that guy's name is Bill, then I go tell Joe, "Hey, did you hear that Bill did this, such and such?" And it's an unsubstantiated rumor. I don't know that it's true. I go spread it anyway to somebody else behind that person's back instead of going to him and asking him if he committed that sin. You see? Mm-hmm. And so that's what gossip is.
Yeah.
The New Testament is full of people trying to correct others who are in sin.
Is gossip always talking bad about somebody else? Can gossip be like saying the world is coming to an end tomorrow?
I would not, that particular sentence, I would not call, I would not classify that as gossip.
I'm just trying to figure out an example in my mind.
Well, what I said, the example would be that you don't know that.
Preachers used to tell the congregation that the Last Supper they laid on couches. And that can't be true. And I proved it in a diagram. You'd be talking to the back of somebody else's head.
Okay. Yeah, whether that's true or not, that would not be an example of gossip. Gossip is like, let's say we're in high school.
Yeah.
And I hear that a person named Joe has cheated on a test, but I don't know that he has. I just heard that. And I don't like Joe. So I go and tell my friend Bill that I heard that Joe cheated on a test. You see, that's unsubstantiated, and then I'm telling Bill, if I'm going to go to anybody, I need to go to Joe and ask him if he cheated on the test, but I go to Bill and tell him that because I'm trying to tear Joe down. I'm spreading an unsubstantiated rumor about Joe to Bill. That's what gossip is, and it's condemned in the Bible. Paul from Kentucky, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, you're talking about women preachers. I attend a church now that is a woman minister. But the thing I've got is 18 years ago when I got married, I was married by a woman pastor. Now, is that does that make it right in the eyes of the Lord, or is this an adulterous situation? Or
No. She had the right to marry you according to the state you lived in, right?
Right.
Yeah, no, excuse me, it would not make your marriage invalid. Your marriage is not valid or invalid based upon the morality of the preacher or the justice of the peace that married you. That has nothing to do with it, okay? But
right.
Let me talk to you a little bit, Paul, about you're attending a church with a woman minister, right? A woman preacher.
That is correct.
Now, you see, you're not committing the sin. It would be impossible for you to commit the sin of being a woman preacher because you're not a woman, right?
Right.
But let me read you this passage and see what you think, Paul. 2 John, I'm going to read 9 through 11. It says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." So that first verse I read, 2 John 9, is saying that we must abide in the doctrine of the teaching of Christ. You follow me so far, Paul?
Right.
Now,
yes.
I read two verses a while ago that show simply that women preachers is not according to God's law, not in the doctrine of Christ. You follow me?
Right.
All right, now I'm going to read verses 10 and 11. It says, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." So, Paul, even though you can't commit the sin of being a woman preacher, if you go along with that sin, you know, to bid somebody Godspeed in their sin means to either help them sin or to go along with it, to encourage them in their sin. If you go along with that sin, then this says you become a partaker in their evil deeds. Do you see how I'm applying
right.
that to your situation, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. I was just wondering if, you know, the marriage that, you know, was conducted by the female pastor, it being legal in Alabama where I live, would it be wrong in the eyes of the Lord?
Well, the woman should not be a preacher, as we normally use
right.
that term. Now, there's nothing wrong. Let me say this real quick. There's nothing wrong with women teaching the gospel to other women in Bible studies. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But what we mean by women preacher, as you call it, a woman minister, we all know what we mean by that. She shouldn't do that. But when she married you, that didn't affect whether or not your marriage is scriptural or not. Okay?
Right. Gotcha.
Paul, I live in near Huntsville, Alabama. Where do you live in Alabama?
I live in Newmarket, Alabama. If you don't know where that is.
Yeah, it's northeast of where I live.
Exactly.
Been
there all my life.
Now, you may not want to do this. Hold on a minute. I was going to see if we could might get a hold of each other and get up with each other somehow.
Yeah, you can put me back with your call taker, and I can give him my phone number.
Do that. I'm gonna try to put you back on there and let you give him the phone number, okay? And then he'll give it to me, and I'll call you and see if we can't get together sometime and study the Bible.
That sounds like a plan, buddy.
Okay, Paul. Thanks for your call. Hey, Paul, if you get dropped, call right back.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
All right.
Joanna from Canada, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hello.
Hey, Joanna.
Hi. I have a question. You said about the woman preaching. The verse that you asked on, is it from the Old Testament or from the New Testament?
They were both from the New Testament.
Both from the New Testament?
Yes.
I was wondering, you told me that if it was from the Old Testament, I know that Jesus ripped I'm not really good in English, but when he touched the earth, when he rebirthed, and he split
Joanne, I'm having a hard time hearing you. It's maybe because you're not speaking loud enough, or you got a bad connection.
Okay, which part?
That's better. That's better.
Okay, I was just asking about the question for the woman preaching in the church, and I was just asking if it was from the Old Testament or the New Testament. You said the New Testament.
Right.
And is it really that wrong for women to preach nowadays?
Yeah, it says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. And then it goes on to say, it is a shame for women to speak in the church. So, yes, it is wrong. It's very plain.
Wow. It's something now, because now I see that in recent study, I saw that now there are less being preachers in the U.S., which is really wrong.
Joanna, can you do me a favor and maybe send me an email so we can talk more about this offline?
Yes, thank you.
All right. My email is BibleCrossfire@email.com.
Bible what? Excuse me?
BibleCrossfire@email.com.
All right. BibleCrossfire@email.com.
Thank you, Joanna. Send me an email and we can talk more about this sometime during the week after the program.
All right. Thank you.
Annette from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
That a female should be more like a teacher and a speaker instead of a leader preaching, you know, being over a church.
Yeah. You know, the way the verse puts it, it says she's not to speak in the church, not to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a matter of the tone of voice or the style of speaking. The 1 Timothy 2 says she's not to teach over the man.
Yeah.
So if she's up there in the pulpit preaching to the congregation, she's teaching over the man. It doesn't matter what her tone of voice is or her speaking style.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying, Annette?
Yes. That's how I feel.
What I was saying earlier is that it's nothing wrong for a woman to teach the Bible. Say you wanted to have a ladies' Bible class at your house and you had five or six ladies over and you taught the Bible to them. Nothing wrong with that. You know, I didn't mean when I say a woman should not be a preacher, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what we normally mean by the term women preacher. A woman getting up the pulpit and preaching to the church.
Yes. Okay, I agree with you. That's
what I feel. Annette, do you have I wonder if you have email.
No, I sure don't. But I be listening to Family Talk a lot. And I'm going to give me an email, and I will be calling you all back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you know.
Here's what I'm going to do, Annette. I mean, do you want to I'm going to give you my cell phone number. And you can call me, and we can talk more later. How about that?
Okay. Hold on one moment.
All right. Now, while Annette's getting something to write with, Let's go on to the next. Go ahead, Annette. Find you something right with.
Okay,
I'm going to go in.
I got
okay.
it. Go ahead.
256.
256.
682.
682.
9753. Call me sometime during the week, Annette, and let's talk more.
9752.
9753.
53. Oh, okay.
256-682-9753. I love to talk to people about the Bible, either through email or we could talk over the phone, either way.
Oh, okay. I sure will.
Thank you, Annette.
Okay, thank you. All right. Love you all.
We're talking about how that church in California that smokes pot as part of the communion, everybody can see that's wrong, that we're not free to change God's law just to suit the way we want it to be. That applies, in this case, we're talking about worship. That's what they were changing. John 4:24, the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, we have a good illustration of this. Leviticus 10:1-2 reads, and Nadab, I'm talking about in the Old Testament, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, this is an Old Testament example, but Nadab and Abihu were worshiping God, but they weren't doing it the way he said. So God, we might say God got mad. He sent fire down and devoured them with fire. Now, we're not under the Old Testament law today. So here's what we can learn from that, though, and that is that if, however God has told us to worship him in the New Testament, we should do that and not change it. These two fellows, Nadab and Abihu, they were told how to worship God in the Old Testament, and they changed it. God was very displeased. What that says to us is that we need to worship God the way he has told us in the New Testament, or God will be very displeased. And you maybe need to examine the church where you go. Are y'all worshiping God according to the New Testament pattern? Many churches aren't even looking at what the New Testament says when they decide how they're going to worship God. Well, obviously, they have women preachers. They're not looking at the New Testament to decide how they're going to worship God. So we need to be doing that so that we can be pleasing to God. Will from Alabama, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, when the Philippian church was founded, Paul got a vision to come over and help them. And he found women praying by the water, and they were praying for some man to come and lead them. You remember that?
Yeah, Lydia.
And Lydia and some other women, and they were praying that some man would lead them. And when Paul and the four of them showed up, then they took over leadership of that church. And so, you know, the women were praying as a group of women, and they were praying for some man to come and to be their leader.
Okay. Now, it doesn't, I see your point. It doesn't actually say what the women were praying about, and this was not really a church, but you're right. The women were praying. Nothing wrong with that, and women should pray today.
Right.
But they should not speak in the church, and they should not teach over a man. Are we agreed on that, Will?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the church wasn't founded, but it was founded when Paul and the other three showed up at this prayer meeting that they were having with these women. Then she let Paul and them take the lead in establishing this church. It was not a church at that time. It was just some women praying for that help.
Will, I got to go off the air. Can you send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com? BibleCrossfire@email.com. We got to go off the air.